So my name's Stan. I'm Chinese. I was born in Australia and I went to Canada. It's a bit complicated. That's why Sean didn't really know how to explain where we came from. Yeah. And because I'm from Australia, so there might be some Aussie terms that I might throw in that you might not understand. Today, I think I was talking to Jerry and Grace and John. We're talking about Hezekiah's tunnel and how it was really dark there. And you really needed to use a torch. And then Grace was like, what? Like, you actually bring a stick with fire and going in? And then John's like, no, what he means is a flashlight. All right, so, you know, I might be using certain Aussie terms, but hopefully you guys will understand. sorry, I got a nasty cold, got hit by that again. But I know a lot of people have been praying for me, so I know God is powerful, and he won't let anything physical hinder his work.
Amen.
Yep. So, going to really thank Sean once again for giving me the opportunity to be a vessel for God's word to you all. I think it's a real privilege to be able to serve in whatever capacity, but mostly in speaking the word of God. Yeah. So, I'm also really glad to see a lot of old faces, new faces. I think we were talking, our first revive was last year, and I think there's a lot of new faces here, right? Put up your hands if this is your first time. Like,
woo!
Well, I mean, so we can really see what God has been doing here, right? Yeah. So I think I was talking to Jen last night, saying, one year has gone by really quickly. All right, it's so quickly, you know. So many things have happened, you know, during this year. I think Blake's documentary came out, all right. I think Peter and Amy got married, all right. I had a prayer with Peter, and then next thing you know, he got married. So, so those of you guys who want to get married, I'm available to pray. You guys, all right. If you guys want to have kids, ask Victor. If you guys specifically want to have boys, ask Sean. All right, I think they're really abundant over there. one year has passed by. But I feel like, you know, I've known you guys for a really long time. Yeah, and I think that is what the family God is all about, you know. And all these friendships, are only made available, possible because of the love of God. Yes. Yeah. So even in this past year, Matt and Dustin have already come over to Toronto to visit us. So, you know, these are the relationships and friendships that God has been forming through Revive, you know. So we really have to give all glory to God, for bringing us together. Once strangers, but now we're family. Yeah. So before we continue, let us just draw close to our God in prayer. Let's pray. Yeah, dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, our God. Yeah, Father, we just want to give you all the thanks, praise, and want to give you all the glory because you are an awesome God, an amazing God. And just from the messages that we heard last night, even though when we were sinners, you had this love for us. So Father, we just pray that you will help join our hearts together and grant us the spirit of understanding and just help us to understand your word to a deeper level. Yeah, so that through your words, we may become more and more like you. Father, we just pray that you will anoint the mouth of your unworthy servants, so that the words that come out are not from man, but from yourself. So Father, we just want to give you all the glory and praise. Amen. All right, so today, I love how Sean is just so well organized and so well planned. He tasked me with talking about a particular topic, all right? So it's about loving your room. Well, I guess roommates. All right. So I think it's so easy to love our room, I guess. All right. But when it comes to loving our roommates, that's a totally different thing. All right. So we're just going to go through a few points. And the reason why Sean over here tasked me with this was because I've had a history of living with, different people, throughout my whole life. Yeah. My experiences might be a little bit different from your experiences, but I think the spiritual principles are still the same. All right. So I'll just give you a little rundown about a little bit of history, my history. All right. So I lived with, together with my parents, alone with my parents, until the age of 12. And then by the age of 12, my parents decided to serve God full time. So we went to a Bible training in Hong Kong, and we started living with other families, with other couples. Yeah. So that went pretty well because, when you're a kid, everyone still looks after you and all that. You know, everyone loves you. Everyone pinches you on the cheek, and carries you up. And, And that was an amazing experience. By the time I was 16, I went back to Australia because, I had enough of my parents. I think some of you, I'm not sure if you identify with that, but, at that age, you just had enough. And I said, I wanted to go back to Australia. I want my own life. So I started staying with relatives for a year. I wasn't exactly their best tenant. So after a year, I had to move out and stay with my first roommate, in university. that was awesome. I'll talk about that a little bit more. Now, after university, I decided to, I felt God calling me for full-time church ministry. Yeah, so I went off to do what my parents did, and I went to full-time Bible training. Now, usually in traditional theological colleges, you go to class, and you just go back home after class, right? Well, I'm not sure what Atlanta Bible College does, but in the training that I had, the emphasis, other than Bible training, spiritual principles, the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff, the emphasis was you got to live together, all right? Because it's when you live together, that's when the true character comes out, all right? And if you don't know how to live together, you don't know how to love, then what's the point of you teaching, right? Because we don't just teach what we preach. We got to live out what we preach. Yes. All right? Otherwise, you can give the best sermon ever, but if people look at your life and they're like, this guy can't even live with someone else, then it just discredits everything. Right? So it's very true. When we see each other, on Sundays, it's for a few hours. You see each other for a few hours, and everyone's really nice. Well, for most of the time, everyone's really nice to each other. And then a few hours later, you go back home, all right? And then when you're at home, then a true character comes out, right? Because you're tired and everything. And that is when, it's very difficult to start to love, right? So, yeah, so on Sunday, everyone kind of like looks like this, right? The lion and the lamb, all right? And then when everyone goes back home, it's like this. All right, you're kind of like eating each other, and it's during those times that is when you have to learn how to love. All right, when it actually love. So that's what this whole camp is all about. That's why we don't just come here to listen to some messages and then go home to our little motels and our little room. No, we live with each other so that hopefully during this time, we learn to love one another no matter what. When that person is adorable, you love that person. When that person is not so adorable, you learn how to love that person. All right? And this is God's power. All right? Like, how can you how can you not live with someone? This really displays that you don't have the power of God inside your life. All right? So that's why we're putting you guys all together. All right, now you understand why, right? Okay. So hopefully by the end of this weekend, you guys understand a little bit more about living together, all right? Loving one another. Anyway, so for 2 years, back to the Bible training story, we lived together. I was a group of like three guys. We had it easy. Three brothers living in a two-bedroom apartment, and that was easy, all right? Because guys know how to chill, and you know, like, yeah. Look at these guys. I don't mind living with them. But Pam had it a little bit hard. She had to live with 10 other girls, all right? 10 other girls in a duplex apartment with only two bathrooms, all right? Yeah, all right. Just imagine, you know, every morning, everyone wakes up, you know, like that, like this, all right? And then, you know, somehow they have to transform themselves to be, you know, like that, okay? And that takes a very long time. You know, it takes a lot of effort. And you only got two bathrooms, all right? How did they manage to do that? Well, you gotta ask her about how they did that. I'm not gonna talk about that today. But, you know, that's a little bit of history about living together, all right? So after Bible training, Pam and I got married, and there was another stage in living together, all right? And I'm not sure if you guys have heard about the three rings of marriage, right? The three rings of marriage. I got a dad joke. So you got the engagement ring, right? All right, and then you got the wedding ring, all right? And then the third ring is the suffer ring, all right? So when you come together, you know, it's of course it's romantic, it's, you know, lovey-dovey and all that, but it's not always that tight, right? For those of you who are married, you know that there's another side, all right? There is the suffering type, all right? Not just because you might annoy one another. No, I mean, like, when you truly love each other, you go through each other's pains, all right? Like, I know when every time I'm preparing for a Bible study or a message, or, you know, I'm sick, you know, Pam feels the same pain as I do. You know, it's I don't even know how to describe it. I look at her and I see a mirror image of myself. I go, oh my goodness, do I look like that? You know, you know, like all that angst. I mean, not angst, like the anxiety and all that, you know. So that's the next stage of my life, you know, living together with someone. But even after we got married, we didn't just stay together by ourselves. We stayed with other co-workers at the church, right? And so these are our co-workers. You see our senior pastor and his wife, right? And so we live in this small apartment, two-bedroom apartment in Toronto, living together with them. And that kind of gets all our neighbors confused because they don't know, like they totally don't understand how is it that two couples who are totally unrelated, you know, can live together in such a small apartment like that. And we've been staying together for like 8 years, all right, 8 years. And so people get confused and they're always referring, you know, our pastor and our wife, like, oh yeah, your dad and your mom, you know, we saw them the other day. And then, you know, we don't want to explain so much because if you go into the details, like, no, they're actually our pastor and our wife and we're living together, you know, kind of drags the conversation a little bit. And then people get confused and think that, you know, Pam and I, so we must be brother and sister, right? I mean, if they're our parents. The interesting thing is that their last name is Chan and Pam's last name is Chan. So we kind of get by saying that, yeah, I'm kind of like the son-in-law. And this is pretty much it, how we function together. And it's been a great 8 years. I've learned so much from this couple, yeah, from our spiritual parents. Yeah, they are a real example of how to live with other people, all right? I hope one day you guys get to meet them and, you know, hopefully they will tell all our secrets, you guys. So that's a little bit of history about living together, my history of living together with other people. Now, I may not be an expert in this, all right? But I do just want to share some principles that I have learnt over the years. So, why do we live with other people? Why do we stay with other people? Well, some people, it'll be by force. You know, you're forced to, like, you're staying with your parents, you're kind of like forced to do that, right? Some people will be by choice. Now, whatever the case, doesn't matter what case it is, the most important thing is that you have to be in the right spiritual mindset, all right? Because if you're not in the right spiritual mindset, everything will just end up in a mess, All right? So what is this right spiritual mindset? Well, the right spiritual mindset is to understand what is God's purpose in His Word for us to live together. All right? What is His purpose? Once you understand His purpose, then hopefully you understand why I live together with someone else. All right? So let's take a look at the first purpose. Well, I think this is a very well-known verse. All right? Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. All right. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. All right. This is a very special picture. If you guys ever go to YouTube, look this up. It's a very touching story. It's a blind man I can't remember the whole story, but anyway, so it's an armless guy, all right, carrying, I think, was a cripple, right? Yeah. Armless blind guy carrying a cripple, all right?
Blind man and armless.
Okay, blind man and armless guy, okay? So the story goes with these two is that they're disabled for life, but they figured out, you know, one day, you know, we're going to do something with our lives, even though we are crippled, we are disabled. And so they got together and they said, we want to leave an impact for the next generation. All right, so they decided to start growing trees. All right, and so these two guys, they got together, this armless guy is helping this blind guy somehow climb up trees, chop up branches, and start planting them on the fields. All right, and it's an awesome story about these two being together. But anyway, the whole point here is that God puts us together, gives us an opportunity to live together because two is better than one. Two is better than one. Now, there are so many benefits to living together. All right? For example, you know, when you live together, there are practical elements. For example, rent. Okay, when you guys come together, rent is a lot less. Food will cost a lot less. All right? Even the chores will take half the time. All right? Like in our household, Pam, she would be cooking half of the week, and then the pastor's wife will be cooking the other half. All right? So that's a great arrangement. Right? And then, of course, the senior pastor and myself, we wash the dishes. Actually, we operate the dishwasher. But, and we take out the trash. But, you know, it's a really great arrangement. You know, two is better. Two, if you can really learn to live together, two is better than one. And not only that, I remember, you know, living with my roommate in university. There are times that you can really have heart-to-heart talks, you know, encourage each other, share with each other the Word of God. You know, you can pray with each other. I remember there was a time that this guy, he shared his personal testimony with me. You know, my roommate, he shared something very, very personal. I don't think anyone in this world knows anything about it. But it really touched my heart. It really made me realize the reality and the love of God, all right? And that completely just, yeah, changed my life. So you've got all these benefits. Not only that, but of course you have the benefits of having fun with one another. You know, the jokes that you tell with one another, the things that you go through. You know, I mean, I remember I was cooking for the first time. I made curry I put like 500 grams of curry powder. You like your curry, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I put it into this pot of chicken and all that. And then my housemate is like smelling this really strong curry. He smells it like, oh my goodness. It's as if you put the whole pack of curry inside, the curry powder inside the pot. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to do that? Like, of course I didn't tell him that. I was kind of like, oh, what are you supposed to do and all that. But you know, he was really good. You know, we had fun. When we were eating the curry, we had like a pot of water. We dipped our chicken inside to get rid of all the curry, and then we're eating. You know, and you know, it's a great experience when you have all that fun. And I think there was another time when I had finished cooking, and then you know, sometimes when you scoop the stuff and you got the sauce and everything, and you don't want to waste the sauce that's on the spatula, and so what do? You know, you lick it, right? Yeah, you lick it, right? You lick it. I put it, and I thought I finished licking it. I thought it was pretty clean. I put it, you know, near the wok, okay? We use wok. right? And then afterwards, I see my housemate come in, my roommate, he comes in, and I mustn't have licked it properly or something. I see him like suddenly grabbing that and he starts licking it too. And it's at that moment, you're looking at him and you're thinking, oh my goodness, should I tell him? Yeah, I kind of told him after he finished. But you know, those are fun times. And then, you know, there are other times that I saw him brushing his teeth, and I looked at that toothbrush and I said, hey man, that's my toothbrush, you know? And they says, what? No, that's my toothbrush. And apparently, you know, we've been brushing the same toothbrush for like 1 or 2 months. Yeah, so, you know, you get all this fun stuff. You know, that's just the joy, right? That's the joy of living with one another, the practical side, you know, the serious sharing, praying, encouraging time, and the times that when you look back and you have a good laugh, right? Two is better than one. Right? That's why we come together. But of course, there's the other side, right? There is the other side where sometimes you just annoy the heck out of one another. You just get so frustrated with one another, right? Well, that's understandable because we've got so many different habits, right? We've got so many different habits. We come from so many different backgrounds, right? Like I've heard that some people, they would, you know, argue over after they finish cleaning the cups, should you put the cup down, facing down, or should you be facing up, right? I don't know what you guys do at home. Up? Yeah, up? Yeah. You know, like, people can write PhD thesis on this, you know? And both can be right, all right? But these little things can be such points of contention, all right? And I think a common thing is, should the toilet seat be up? Should this toilet seat be down? You know, another PhD thesis. You know, we've got so many doctors around, you know, who can write stuff about this. And then, you know, I've got a pet peeve about dishes in the sink. You know, I like my sink to be clean. Amen. All right. Like nothing should be in that sink. All right. But then I had housemates who would just, you know, load it up. You know, just load it up, and they thought it was very practical. You know, you just take by consignment. You know, just whenever you need a plate, you just wash that plate, and you use it. All right. So you got all these things, and then you know you got other stuff like the toilet roll, the toilet paper. You know, somehow, you know, one square of paper can be torn into half, and then like a quarter, and just be left a little bit, just hanging there. You know, and so you've got all these things that really just, you know, the tiniest things. I'm not even talking about the big things. The tiniest things can really get to you. All these habits, different habits and backgrounds. Now you ask God, like, why? Why do I have to go through all this? All right, well, here comes the second point. All right, and I think Proverbs put it really... sharply for us, all right? Here it is. Iron sharpens iron, all right? You have to be in that mindset, all right? Two is better than one, yes. The other side of the coin, iron sharpens iron, you know? Now, what does it mean, you know, to sharpen something, all right? Well, first of all, you know, like, just like how iron sharpens iron, God sharpens us, right, according to this. Now, what does it mean to be sharpened? Well, I'm not sure if you've ever used a blunt knife before. You know, it's terrible. Pam and I, we look after a student fellowship group every Friday. She has to cook once a month, and sometimes I will have to help out with the cooking. You know, we cook for like 40, 50 students, all right? And I'm the meat chopper, okay? So my job is to chop up the meat. And you know, when you're chopping it with a blunt knife, my goodness, you use so much energy, you just want to tear it apart, you know? Like, but when you sharpen it, you get a touchstone, and you sharpen it, right? It's true that a bit of steel comes off. You grind it, and you grind it, and you grind it. And then when you cut, wow, it becomes so efficient. It becomes so useful. It becomes a joy to use, right? And that's what it means when God sharpens us, right? He sharpens us to become loving people so that we can be effective, right? We are useful. We are, efficient, you know? We are people that other people want to be with, and we can be useful servants of God. That is why he sharpens us. That's why he puts us together with other people. So, you know, when you have a chance and God puts you together with someone, don't run away, all right? Have the right mindset, all right, about these two. And I've really noticed those that God have sharpened, my goodness, their life shines so brightly. In the darkness, they're just this light shining. You are gravitated to that person. You are attracted to that person. But it takes a lot of sharpening. You know, being a loving person doesn't come overnight. No one is born loving. All right? Everyone needs to be sharpened. All right? If you don't feel like you need to be sharpened, well, you got to think about it again. All right? Time to be sharpened. Now, here comes my third point. If you truly understood what love is all about, you will find that love is not just difficult, it is impossible, all right? Unless the Spirit of God, the power of God, the grace of God transforms you, all right? That is the only way that anyone can truly love. You can only love when God transforms your character. And I'm reminded of a parable, all right? The parable of the sheep and the goats. You guys remember that parable? All right, I've got, I got it up here. And I've got the parable up here. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. So you guys can go home. I just want to draw your attention to a very important part here. And it's talking about, you know, two different characters. They're two different sets of Christians, right? One who are, you know, externally look like a Christian, right? But they're not really acting, you know, the godly life, practicing the godly life. But then you've got the other side, the sheep, you know, and these are the true Christians, those who are not just outwardly like Christians, but they live out the Christian life. They live it out so much so that when the Lord Jesus talks to them, and they don't even realize that they have done all this goodness, you know? I mean, the Lord Jesus was like, you know, I was a stranger to you, but you fed me when I was hungry, you know, you gave me something to wear, you kept me warm, you know, when I was cold, you know, so on and so forth. And then these sheep are like, what? When did I do that? Like, what does that mean? Well, it's because it's part of their character, you know? And that is the whole point. We need God to change us, to transform us, so that we have that character of love. Once you have that character of love, loving is not so difficult because it's part of you, all right? But when love, when your character is not like that, and love is not part of your character, then you find that it is a burden to love. Every time someone's annoying or you think is annoying is around you, you feel like, oh man, I gotta love. But when when you allow God's power, God's Spirit to transform you, to sharpen you, loving becomes so natural. You know, you're just walking around and you're like, ooh, full of love. You know, you're not just telling people, I love you. You know, you got a lot of people doing that. No, it just comes out of that person. All right? So that's the third point. You know, if you want to be able to love someone, you got to allow God to sharpen you, to transform you. And that's a process. All right? All right. So throughout this whole camp, you're going to be hearing a lot of principles. You know, I'm really waiting for Victor's message on loving difficult people. All right? I hope I'm not one of them that he's talking about. But, you know, you're going to be listening to a lot, like loving coworkers, you know, loving the needy, you know, loving coworkers. you're going to be hearing a lot about these principles. You got to learn how to apply this to your life. All right? Ask God to help this love become part of you. It's in your arms, your legs, everything about you. All right? And then things will be much easier. I'm not saying that you won't have challenges, but you'll be up a different level. All right? Those of you who like video games, you're getting up a level. All right? So real life is so much better than video games. All right? I mean, you just have to apply these things and you see it come out. All right? All right. So comes the fourth and final point. Now, a lot of the times, we think that other people are annoying, or a lot of people are frustrating us all the time. But I tell you the truth. We're just as annoying as that other person that we think is annoying. All right? We might not just think that, all right? But we are. Okay, ask that person next time. Right? And if that person says that you are not annoying, that person is nicer than you. All right, so that's why the Lord Jesus says, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 2, he reminds us, do not judge, so you will not be judged. Okay, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. All right, this is the Lord Jesus reminding us. You know, you got to think about what you think of others first, right? Well, the Lord Jesus gives us a better way of living, a better mindset, okay? Judging is one mindset, but he's given us a better mindset of living, a better way of living. And what is that way? Further down in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. In everything, all right? Well, do unto others, you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. Right, we know all this. Right? It's just a matter of applying. Now, the Lord Jesus says, do unto others what you want to do, what others do to you. Now, this statement, I think like in other philosophies, like Confucius. Right? Have you guys heard of Confucius? He's very wise, but sometimes very confusing. Right? So, he said, don't do unto others what you don't want others do to you. All right? So you hear these two statements and you think it's very similar. But there's a difference. All right? What's the fundamental difference? Well, when you... Sorry? All right, anyway. Sorry, there's not... Yeah, anyway. when you don't want to... What is this about? Don't do unto others what you don't want others do to you. It's something very passive, all right? Like, I don't want you to be annoying, or I don't want you to do certain things, so, you know, I won't do it. I'm going to back off. I'm going to start avoiding you. All right? It's very passive, and that's how divisions are made. You know, okay, I don't step on your tail, you don't step on my tail. Let's just part ways, all right? That is what that philosophy is about. But the Lord Jesus here, do unto others what you want others to do unto you. That is active love, all right? That is something that we have to remember. And that is how God's Spirit molds us when we are in this particular mindset. Do unto others what you want others to do unto you. And, you know, and it's very practical. I mean, going back to the example of Pam living with 10 other girls, you know, you can have a different mindset. You go, oh, I just got to get up early, you know, and hog up the bathroom, you know. But if you think about, oh no, I would like that other person to be slightly faster, or you know, more efficient in putting up. I don't know what it is that they put on, but you know, put on that stuff. You know, yeah, sorry. yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah, that's what makes the Asian girls, you know, although they're 50, look like they're 30. Right? Anyway, so if you think in that way, like, I want that person to be more efficient, I want that person to be faster. Now, instead of thinking that you want that person to be like that, but you reverse that, since I want them to be like that, I will be like that, right? And then that is what you get, heaven on earth. You know, that is amazing. We all have to have that mindset, right? And if you have these mindsets, well, God is going to do something amazing, all right? And yeah, all this can only be possible, you know, by God's power. All right. So I'm just going to end here. I've got 4 points here, just for you guys to remember in summary. 2 is better than 1. All right. We know that. That's why we always want to be together. But we have to remember the second point. Iron sharpens iron. All right? When you have that right mindset, you won't just, when trouble comes, you disappear. No, no, when trouble comes, you face it. Let God grind, okay? Let God use that other person to sharpen you to effectiveness, all right? And then the third, allow God to transform your character so that love becomes who you are. I mean, that is why the Bible says God is love. Love is a characteristic. It is part of them, all right? Make us to become like God, where God is love. The fourth one, do unto others what you want others to do unto you. If you have this mindset and you repeat it year after year, you will see amazing things that God will do around you. All right? God will work through you, not just so that you become a lovable person, but the love of God spreads to other people and they become loving people. All right? So that's what I have for today. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, Yahweh our God. Yeah, Father, indeed, we are very unworthy, yeah, to be before you. But even in our unworthiness, you love us so much. So Father, we pray that we grab hold of understanding your love for us so that we may also see what you see in other people, that we may love other people with your love, and that we may have compassion on those that you have compassion on. So Father, we know love is an impossible thing, but it is made possible through your power and through your grace. So Father, today I want to pray that you'll bless everyone here today and just give them a vision from yourself that this coming year, it's going to be a year of love. So Father, we commit all things into your hands. Glory be to your name. Amen.